Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. It is a Friday. I'm very, very excited about today's show. Man, I'm sitting here in the studio. The coffee is hot. My vape is filled with the essence of my enemies. No, I'm kidding. It's actually a menthol derivative, but nobody cares about that. Let's talk about today's show. We have a fantastic, very, very cool band that we're going to be talking about today. We've got the vocalist, Seven Stella, on with us. And the band is Surrender Stella, which is what the police might have said to him. No, I'm kidding. Seven, how are you?
I'm doing great today. How are you doing, Jamie?
I'm doing fantastic, fantastic. We were just talking. I was looking at the news. The reason I asked you, we were talking off mic before we came on the air about you guys are out of Houston, and I don't know. I saw some map or something on the TV, and it's like, you know, crazy blizzard cold front in the Midwest, and I'm like, I wonder if that's hitting Houston. But you say it's pretty nice down there today, huh?
Well, yeah. I mean, about 3 days ago it was 100 degrees, and now it's in the 70s, so it feels – I'm not even going to laugh. Right now, and I'm shivering.
Wow. A nice change, though, from sweating. You know, that's how it is here.
Definitely.
I'm in South Florida. And about once a year, maybe twice, we will get they make such a big deal about it. They're like the Polar Express. They always have these crazy names for it. And, you know, it's what they really mean is like 68 degrees, something like that.
Oh, yeah, it's cold for us Southerners, man. It's freezing.
Oh, yeah. The gals, they freak out. They're like, what do we do? Yeah, just up from Miami, actually. Yeah, Fort Lauderdale, Miami.
Oh, okay, great. I love that town, man. We played down there last year.
Nice, nice. Well, next time you play, I say this, but then I remember you guys have 8 members in the band, right?
No, we have 5.
5?
I
saw a picture. Oh, things have changed.
Okay, so,
I gotcha.
The picture that you saw is actually my band, and there's a band called Black Oxygen.
They
featured on the track Black Heart. Yeah.
I gotcha. It all comes clear now. Well, I'll finish my thought then. Next time you guys come down, we have a guest room. We're 2 blocks from the beach, so... Come on.
Awesome.
I tell all my musician friends that, and they're like, yeah, whatever, Jamie, you know, it doesn't matter. And then here's how I hook them, especially bands on tour. And I say, we have 2 working showers and a washer and dryer. And they're like,
oh my God.
There.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Like getting a shower on tour. Oh, it's my first like big tour last year, and I didn't realize like that was going to be such a problem, you know, but we sorted it out. Thank God Planet Fitness, shout out to Planet Fitness, you know, $10 a month
there
for the all access pass. Get your showers in, man.
Nice. Nice.
So.
Little trick of the trade there for anybody starting out in the music business. Let me ask you something, Seven. Now did you grew up in Houston?
I'm from Houston. Yes, sir.
Nice, nice. That's a fun town. I could tell you stories. Every time I go to Houston, I wind up at some crazy party or nightclub and that you just wouldn't expect. And
it's a bit of a party town, man. You know, it's cool. You know, the music scene down here is pretty good. It's got a thriving rap thing, the rap community here. Metal's pretty big here as well. Get some EDM in here, so it's not too bad down here.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Last time I was in Houston, I think I went to some club called Barbarella's or something. It was crazy. It was kind of Houston's one of those towns that'll kind of sneak up at on you. You know, you're like, oh, I'm in this Texas town. It's all cool. Everybody's chill. It's pretty cool. You know, I know what it's about. Next thing you know, I'm at a boxing match with drag queens. It was crazy.
It'll go that way sometimes. You know, it's kind of unsuspecting. You know, you think of Houston, it's an industry city. It's like oil and gas. You know, but.
Right.
Lots of fun stuff to do too. You know, we're only like an hour from the beach where I'm at, and you know, it's probably the crappiest beach in the world, Galveston, Texas, because all the Mississippi mud comes over here. You know, it looks
right.
Nasty.
Well,
but,
right.
Yeah. Well, it's not like you.
Nothing
over there
wrong with
Galveston, man. Beautiful water.
We're having problems here. I tell you what it is. Here is all the sugar cane farms. All their runoff goes into the ocean, and eventually, and we've had these crazy algae blooms and stuff. This red algae and
it's crazy. That happens. It's like blood in the water.
Yeah, it's a problem. I tell you, nobody really was doing much about it till all these millionaires, you know, with these 60-foot yachts and stuff, it started staining them up, and all of a sudden. Action got sprung into, you know what I mean? People are like, we got to do something.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, well, you see that sea turtle over there choking to death, right? Well, I don't care about him, my yacht. You know. I get the same thing with the oil people, you know. It's just what it is. But I wanted to ask you, growing up in Houston, and we were talking about, you know, the band and going on this big tour and whatnot, did you know as a youngster, like when you were a kid and whatnot, did you know that you know, rock star, musician and professional musician, this is what path laid before you, what you were going to be doing?
Well, you know, I always wanted to be a musician. It was a dream and goal of mine. And, man, I tried to play the guitar. I tried to play the drums. And man, I'm talking like I practiced for years, and I don't have aptitude to play that stuff live on stage. But thank God, I just got a little bit of talent with vocals, you know, so I could do that. But that came in handy later because I do a lot of production stuff also. So being able to write or all that work on the instruments came in really handy later on, you know, and because. It wasn't something that I did throughout most of my life. I actually, in my early 20s, is when I decided I wanted to pursue it, like, for real. But I had, like I said, it had been kind of an off and on thing throughout my life. So I couldn't get it, you know, grappling with that guitar. A lot of people, I think, find it to be a instrument they can kind of pick up and just get, you know, get down on. That wasn't me. It came very difficult to me. So I had to, you know, put in lots of hours and practice and everything. And, you know, now I can hack it, play four chords and 4/4 at 120, and it's about all I can do, you know. But at least
you
I
know,
can
the
write
good
on
thing
it.
Is, yeah, as you can write on, and you know what's involved with it when you're writing and whatnot, and you know, it's always it reminds me of when I was a kid. My father was a car guy. He always would want me to help him work on cars. You know what I mean? And
okay. Sure.
I hated working out. I like cars, but I don't like getting dirty. You know what I mean? That was just my thing.
I
kind of a big work. And my, you know, my father would always say, well, you know, you're going to have to know how to do this. You know, it's part of being a guy. And I'm like, you know, Dad, I'm going to be a famous painter. I'll just pay somebody. He goes, well, you don't know if they're ripping you off if you don't know what you... Yeah, exactly. And, so
like you're paying
your time.
I checked it out.
Oh, thanks, man. Thanks. But that wasn't always the case where I could afford to pay somebody. And it was many times that I remember that conversation.
That comes in handy. Yes,
when
does.
I was fixing
well, it's funny
stuff,
you mentioned
you
that because that's like my main, like my day job. I have down here in Houston, I have a shop called Rehab Garage. I'm part owner in. And we restore classic cars. And
really?
You know, yeah, it's pretty cool, man. If you ever find yourself down here in Tomball, Texas, it's right here. It's a little bit north of Houston.
I will check it out, man. That is so cool. Do you guys any type of classic car? Or do you have a specialty you focus on? Muscle car? Really?
Yeah, I mean, like what most people want when they bring a car into us is they want whatever car they have to be restored back to factory. And so, you know,
okay.
That means we're just going to take it, like how it rolled off the assembly line is how we're going to, you know, our goal is to make it back to as perfect as we can to how, it, you know, when it came off the assembly line. That's what most people want with these classics because it brings the real value, you know. But then, you know, you got these guys like myself who, you know, I've had some pretty cool old cars and stuff, but you know, I don't want factory. I want fast. I want to go fast. You know, get really loud.
Get modified.
Really
exactly. I got you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I'm amazed at some of the price. I started watching a couple years ago. I had a guy contact me. This is a crazy story. He contacted me and he goes, "Hey," he goes, "can you do paintings of cars?" And I said, "Well, yeah, man, I can paint a cow's backside if the check's clears, you know what I mean? Do what you got to do." I said, "What do you got in mind?" And this guy lays this on me. I thought I'd never hear a conversation like this. He goes, "Well," he goes, "I collect vintage race cars." And here's what gets me. He goes, and this just blew me away. He goes, "In my stable currently, I have 27 cars." And I'm like, "Oh, I didn't know what you referred to as a stable. That's interesting." And he goes, "And I would like a painting of each car, you know, in its spot." And I'm like, "Yeah, I can do this.
That's
for you.
Cool.
Not a problem."
Yeah,
you know, I'm spending money in my head as this conversation's going on. You know, it's one of those deals. But it's very true. Anyhow, I wound up painting a bunch of this guy. But it was mostly European, like Lotuses and stuff like that, which is great. But what that got me into cars. I started like, I was watching the Barrett Jackson auctions online, you know, stuff, you know, and I'm like,
"Oh yeah, I've been out there. It's awesome.
Crazy
it's
money involved in that." Oh
yeah,
yeah.
Barrett Jackson is a place where people just go to like blow money for no reason. Like the same car at Barrett Jackson would be like 50% more expensive than at like Mecum or something. It's like ludicrous out there, but. But you also see some of the finest cars you'll see in the world, you know, at Barrett Jackson. Like, they're pristine, excellent, excellent condition cars all the time when you're looking at stuff out there. So, and also, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, around Barrett Jackson, it's like this big culture. And, like, it's like a huge event. And they have it in Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, it's like a festival.
It's humongous. I lived in Phoenix for a period back, I don't know, 8 years ago or something. And yeah, man, it was a big deal when it was going on out there.
Well, that's cool. Well, let me ask you this. So by day, you're like a superhero. By day, you're making these phenomenal cars, restoring these to factory and whatnot. And that's got to be, because that's not just working on cars. That's like detective work too, you know, finding some of the parts.
Oh, it is.
And,
well,
you know, I mean.
Absolutely. Luckily, a lot of this stuff you can get new old stock, which means it's just, you know, like a fender that was originally stamped in the 60s. You can buy one it's an original, but some stuff you can't. And you have to make it yourself, or you know, or just fix what you got. So it's pretty involved,
right,
man. You know, and when it comes to especially being an old car, you have no idea what you got until you take it apart and sandblast it, you know, or take it all the way down to metal, because it could be filled with, you know, 60, 70 years of crap on there. Who knows who's doing what to it, you know, so.
Exactly.
So it's always hard to give a customer, like, a quote on a job because you have no idea what's in there until you get that car apart and figure it out, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I remember being a kid and, you know, like when I was younger in school and stuff and, you know, you'd have a car and, you know, you have to carry a toolbox with you if you want to make sure you got home. But there was a lot of times I'd rig stuff up on cars and this and that. I had a truck that I had a choke that was made out of a hair tie.
In a pinch, pantyhose will work for a crank pulley belt, you know. So if you ever break down, you have a pack of pantyhose, and, you know, you'll be able to get on down the road.
Right. Oh, man. I could tell you stories about my cars. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Velvet Mayhem is super excited about their newest venture with MBM Music LLC. With MBM Music, we'll provide artists with a full-service platform to be seen and heard by assisting with necessary products, services, and fashion, all in an effort to increase exposure, fan base, and income. For more information, visit us at mbmmusicllc.com. That's mbmmusicllc.com. You create, we promote, plug in to the network.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrate, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com, Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi folks, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion, a fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool. And these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com. 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 Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. But, so you're doing this in the daytime, and then you're doing music in the evenings, and probably, I imagine, what is it, about 50-50 now, huh? Music and cars.
Man, it's I don't sleep anymore, it feels like, you know, it's because I do, I've got the car thing going on. Now, I'm an owner of that company. I'm kind of, I'm just like, I fit in where they need me out there, you know, so I'm not always up there, but I'm up there a lot. But I also do music productions here in Houston. So I fill my time with whatever I can make money with, you know, so if it's, they meet me at the shop, I'll be up there, or I'll be producing music or booking gigs, promoting gigs, setting up tours, you know, whatever it may be. It's, it's quite
so you've got a lot going on.
Quite a lot. Yeah,
you
know, trying to write some new stuff. Yeah, it's but you know, I don't mind. I like to work. So.
Oh yeah, it's much better to be too busy than not busy at all. I always get in trouble if I'm not busy. That's my.
Oh yeah,
you know, that's
absolutely.
My, it can be, I'm to a point in my life where I know that that's a thing. So I'm like, I just got to keep busy.
I hear you, man. You know, and you got to pay the bills, you know, and it's a little bit harder these days to make some money with music, so you got to get it from every angle, you know, trying to make it where you can get it.
Now, you guys, this tour you went on, how extensive was this? Where did you guys go? All over the place?
Yeah, we started, like, in Denver. I think it was like 15 dates or something like that. And we went across America. The furthest west we went was like Minneapolis down to Des Moines and then to Omaha, Denver. We did all those. And then we came down through Texas, down through the south to Alabama, Tennessee, down to Miami, then back up to New York. And, called it a day after that. There's a lot more dates sprinkled in there. You know, pretty much from Minneapolis to the East Coast, we tried to hit as much as we could, you know, through there.
Nice.
And
now, did you have all this? let me ask you this. Do you have all this scheduled out ahead of time, or are you booking dates on the way, or how did that all happen?
So the tour was actually – okay, so Black Oxygen, the band who featured on my single Black Heart, they are the guys who set up that whole tour.
Okay.
Back, I have an album called Shadow People that I self-released back in, I think, 2015 or 2016. I can't remember exactly, but I released that album, and then, you know, I was trying to get it some airtime or whatever, so I called every radio programmer in Texas, you know, over the course of a couple of weeks. I'm talking about everyone I could talk to, so I called them and sent them the track, you know, the single off the record to see if they'd play it, and I got some airplay. I was actually pretty surprised, but I got some airplay, and I think Black Oxygen came across this. They were touring through Texas or something, came across it on the radio, whatever. Hit me up and liked what we were doing. Thought, you know, asked us to go on tour with them, and I was like, "Shit, let's go! Hell yeah!" You know, so we decided to go out on the road with them, and it was like a month long.
Wow.
It was the first like real big one we ever did. And actually, we haven't done a tour as extensive as that since then. I mean, lots of regional stuff, you know, but no big nationwide stuff since that point. That was August last year, but it was really thrilling. I mean, to be out there on the road, and it was hard. It was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be, you know. But some of the shows were awesome. Some of them sucked, you know. It was good, you know. And then I set up a second show in New York when we got there, because I figured it's such a big town, we could play twice and probably, you know, have two different crowds totally. So, which worked out in my favor by, you know, a lot, because I had just driven from Miami to New York, and then our show that they had booked on the tour got canceled. So me setting up that second show worked. It was like thank God I did it, you know. So I didn't go to New York for nothing.
Right, right. Well, that's crazy. You know, and for those, I'm glad you're telling this story, Seven, because, you know, for those, we get a lot of people that are starting out listening to the show, and they want to be where you're at. You know what I mean? They oh, you know, it's just partying and girls. You know, that's what it is. Rock and roll, baby.
That's a little bit of it, you know, but that's the fun part. You know, it's a lot of work, man.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and calling people on the phones and work. I get that from young people too, or I shouldn't say young people, new people that they're like, oh, I wish I could just sit around and paint all day. I'm like, yeah, me too. You know, but
yeah, right.
Out of a 14-hour day, I might paint 4 or 5 hours, but there's a lot of emails and phone calls and, you know, stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and they don't realize.
So, like, yeah, like when you run – so basically, you know, if you're an artist, right, there's the art side of it where you're doing your creativity, but it's also got to be the business side too, all the behind-the-scenes stuff that puts that art into places where people are going to find it, because if no one sees your art or hears it, what's the point, you know?
It's not as fun when you're doing that stuff as playing on stage or what have you, you know. Driving from Miami to New York, that's a fun thing. no it's not.
Nah. And that was one shot too. I just drove it straight. It was rough. Oh, dude,
yeah.
I felt like getting up there, because I had never been to New York before, so it was quite an experience going in the front for my first time.
New York is cool when you're rolling in, and because you see the buildings first, you know what I mean, and you start seeing it gets bigger and bigger, and you're like, well, it can't get any bigger. No, it gets bigger. Let me ask you this: how did you find driving around town in New York? That's a new experience too, if you hadn't done that before.
To be honest with you, I caught it just at the right moment or something, because like I felt like New York had it figured out, because like I was not sitting in traffic.
Wow.
I drove into New York 5 p.m. on a Friday through the tunnel in a bus with a trailer and sailed right through, got to the Pyramid Club. Now, it took me a while to find a parking spot, but
Right.
Other than that, I didn't have any issue whatsoever in the city. I was extremely surprised by that.
You played at the Pyramid Club?
Yeah, you guys were at the Pyramid Club?
Wow,
yep.
I didn't know that was even... I used to... Now, this is a million years ago. I went to college in Boston, and once a month,
okay.
we'd all save enough money together to take the train down to New York to, you know, go clubbing and stuff, meet girls and
yeah.
every, you know, crazy girls and stuff. And not that the girls in Boston weren't crazy. They were just a little more crazy in New York. but, yeah, Pyramid Club was the place to be, man. Wednesday night. That was... We would
yeah, it's like
schedule
a big punk rock scene, man. It's cool.
Oh,
I had a great time out there. It was straight punk rock, dude. Like, I got there, and that other show got canceled. But, like, the other show had, like, all the promo and everything else, but there's, like, a legit agent who booked a tour and, you know, a lot of really good promo and stuff that went into it. And for my show that I set up, I had just planned on, you know, like, old school punk rock. I'm going to, like, dress up like I'm going to be on stage and go out in New York in the streets with my band members and go pass out flyers and smack stickers everywhere and tell people about it and stuff.
Right.
So, yeah. So we went and did that, and much to my surprise, it worked out great. it was a pretty excellent show.
Awesome.
And that's
that
funny now.
Awesome.
It's like, hell yeah, New York's pretty sick, dude, you know, so. and also,
the
you know,
punk
like, in that era. Yeah, for real. But in that era of my band, you know, I was far more into like theatrics on stage and stuff than I'm currently doing. I kind of reinvented the band for this album that's going to be coming out. I wanted to kind of make a change, but in that first era, it was like shock and awe and, you know, indulgence and all kinds of crazy stuff. So I was, you know, dressed up basically looking like Marilyn Manson walking through, you know,
nice.
New York City
nice.
With my crazy band of gothic looking hooligans and passing out flyers, and everybody was like jumping as soon as they would see us. They're all interested and stuff. It was funny. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, it was cool, man. We had a good time.
That is so cool. That's so cool. Well, so I mean, that's one of the things I wanted to say. I was talking a little bit last night. I had a show last night, and was it last night? Maybe the day before. I can't remember, but sometime this week I was talking about this show coming up and your band and whatnot. And it is a band,
okay.
technically, but it's also kind of an art experience, you know? I mean,
absolutely.
It is theater. And I'm very impressed with that because you don't see that as much as I wish you would, you know, in other acts. People probably they probably really geek out on that when they see you guys do your thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, we've done crazy stuff, you know. Like I'm into it. Like you have to understand, like the artists that I love, you know, growing up and listening to my records, tapes, and you know all that kind of stuff. As a kid, was you know Bowie, and I was so into David Bowie. I was into like you know Depeche Mode, and then you know Marilyn Manson came along, and Nine Inch Nails, and Rob Zombie, and I was like. I was gravitated towards that kind of stuff. And then, you know, there's so many other bands I could name, you know, Rammstein, whatever, but it's like that industrial kind of sound.
A lot of it,
you know, and like you go back to Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars, you know, there's like a bunch of like punk rock kind of stuff going on in that album, or a couple songs anyway, like Suffragette City has this kind of like punk feel to it. And you have like Bowie. I don't know. I was just always into the shock and awe of the stage show because I felt like, you know, I went around Houston for about a year kind of like as I was starting the band and looking at all the other bands that were playing and noticing that like almost every time I would see a band, it was just like, you know, four or five dudes in cargo shorts and like T-shirts just like playing music, which, you know, that's cool, you know, but that's like I felt like this was missing from Houston, so I was like, well, let's, you know, and I always wanted to do it anyway, so I was like, let's do this, you know, let's make it bigger than life, let's make it crazy, and, you know, I used to have girls who would spend, like, a fire poi on stage, and they'd be topless and stuff, and I had, like, real coffins on stage, and, like, I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff, you know, and I guess the first incarnation of the band was a little bit R-rated, you know, so I kind of wanted to bring that down just a little bit so that I could bring in a bit, you know, a bit of a bigger audience. So I'm still all about the shuck and all and the theatrics and everything else. And you know, those performers who performed with us before, they were all, you know, totally about it. Interestingly, several of those people went on to do a lot bigger stuff, like the fire, the girls who were doing Firefly for us ended up, they do that professionally now.
Oh, wow.
In Austin, I believe. So, funny enough, that kind of helped some other people launch some artistic projects they wanted to do as well. Because at that time, like I said, our band was kind of the only one doing this. And then right around the same time, though, a couple other bands down here in Houston sprung up and started doing a lot of really theatrical stuff, too. And it was pretty cool because when you did this all together, it would just be this, like, crazy dark circus that would happen, you know. And it was a fun thing to have, you know. It was a fun era.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit makingcancerhistory.com.
Hey guys, Jamie Rocks here. Hey, last year I was on holiday with my girlfriend Danny. We were at Disney World and having a great time. It's the happiest place on earth. And I dropped my vape, just like a Butterfingers, and it was a pain in the neck. They just don't have anything there to replace it and whatnot. So we had to drive 45 minutes each way to get a new one. And, you know, that's an hour and a half out of our day, man. But anyway, that wouldn't have happened because if I would have had this fantastic new product, the C-Ring. It's very, very cool. What it is it attaches to your vape, designed to protect your investment with comfort, flexibility while doing your day-to-day activity. What it does is it goes in there, you put your finger in there, and you hold it, and you're not dropping your vape, breaking it and whatnot. It's very, very cool, and if you need both hands, they have a lanyard you can hook to, and it's awesome. It's awesome. The C-Ring, you can find out more about it and pick one up at their website, www.thecring.com. Again, that's www.thecring.com. Be smart, be like me, get a C-Ring if you're a vapor. Very, very good. Oh, and hey, holidays are coming up, man. This is a very cool gift for somebody. If you have somebody on your shopping list that vapes like I do, get them a C-Ring. Thecring.com. Well, one of the things that really that I just, my hat goes off to you so much, sir, is now I'm an old man. I've been around, you know, I'm a kid of the 80s. I you know, I told people I spent two decades inside nightclubs. It's almost very true. I used to party a lot and whatnot, go out a lot. And one of the things you said in what you were just talking about that I'm so impressed with is your scene, Houston, it happened to be, didn't have anything. So rather than sit around bitching about it, you know, and complaining or whatnot, you created the scene, you know? And I've known a few people like that in my life. Not a lot. Most people complain about
it. That's not me, man. You know, I'm a doer. Like, if I... I've always told people, I don't know how in the hell I do anything in my life. I just, you know, you set goals and you go after them, you chase them all day and you work hard. You know, I'm right. a six, 7 days a week, 12, 16 hours a day kind of guy. You know, I've been that way since I was 17 years old. So,
that's awesome.
You know, it's been just, you know, work hard. And you know, a lot of people told me that too. Like, you know, you were talking about earlier for other bands who were trying to come up and kind of figure it out. And people would tell me to work hard. And I'm in the beginning, I'm like, well, work hard on what? Because, you know, like you make your music and then you book your shows and do your promo. And you're like, well, what else do I need to work hard on? And man, that social media is so key to helping you launch, right. You know? I'm sorry, just 1 second. But anyway, that social media was so key in helping us launch, you know, because what happened is that we got a ton of followers from like overseas and who were interested in what we were doing. And that helped us a ton because, you know, when you go, you're soliciting clubs or whatever for bookings and stuff like that, it helps a ton if the club goes and looks at your, you know, your EPK or whatever and goes to your Facebook page or sees a lot of activity, sees a group of followers who are engaging on your posts and stuff. And, you know, like they see an audience that like is interested in what you're doing. And that's really, you know, that's where you put your work in is creating consistent content on social media that's engaging and people are interested in. And I think that helped us a lot. And I spent a lot of time and work and effort into building that. And I think that that's something that a lot of artists should definitely recognize. That's so important.
Absolutely.
For us anyways.
Absolutely. And it's there, you know, I mean, people, like I said, I'm an old man. I've never been in bands. I mean, everybody I knew was either making music growing up was either making music or they were making movies or trying to. And
that's cool.
Back in my day, you know, how I got to see a lot of bands, man, I ran a lot of merch tables, you know, friends of mine.
Oh, yeah.
Well, run the merch table and you come see the show. I'm like, okay. And I stapled a lot of flyers to telephone poles. That used to be Twitter,
yeah.
You know, when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Today you can post stuff on social media and you get global reach. I mean, why not use that? Learn if you don't know how to do it, learn how to do it. Because like Devin's saying, man, that is so key. And it's there.
And like me, I I'm 28 years old, right? So I kind of grew up like in the 90s, early 2000s. And like, you know,
gotcha.
Social media developed while I was growing up, you know? So you would think I'd have a firm grasp on it, but in reality, I didn't have a clue, man. You know, as far as like using it for any kind of business sense. And so what I did was I went online and I found like four different books about, you know, how to operate it. And so I went through the material, you know, read a bunch about it and then went at, you know, trying to throw stuff at the wall and hope it sticks. Because, you know, even with all the helpful points in the books and stuff, you know, it's because it's an art project, it's not a, okay, so, you know, if I was selling, like, I don't know, vacuum cleaners or something, you have a product that you're selling, you know, it's a little bit different, you know, because that's, you're selling a product or service, whereas this is, you're selling entertainment, you know, and
right.
So you have to market those things a little bit differently, and, you know, target the, you know, when you go to make a post or whatever, you can target your audience. You have to target stuff a little bit differently, but you know, from in this era that I've kind of been coming up in our band, it's to me here in Houston anyway, in the South region, what I seem to find is that most people are finding out about our show is either on Facebook or on Instagram. So
right.
Even though, you know, whenever I go to a town, like say I go to Dallas or Beaumont or whatever, I'll send out, you know, a press release to the paper or to the local blogs or, you know, the podcast or as many people as I can reach and shoot out, you know, promo stuff to, I will. And Well, now what's happening is I'm getting in touch with, guys like you who are doing radio shows. And I'm very thankful for being able to be on your show and speak with you. And that's helping reach a much bigger audience. But when you're kind of in the beginning stages of a band, that's not really accessible to you generally, very easily, So, but even so, Facebook and social media seemed to be where everybody was picking up my shows from, not, if I was putting it in the paper or there's like bands in town, website or whatever, but I was, also in an unknown band virtually. So it's, you have to get it out there for people to see it because they're not really looking for you. Like, they see Surrender Style on Bands in Town. Well, they've never heard my music. So they're, oh, who's that? I don't know. But on Facebook, you can, post a video with your music in it and give them kind of like a taste of what you're about. See, I'm playing in your town. Here's a clip, and like you throw together a highlight reel of like crazy stuff, in the show, the music, and video marketing is so crucial to when you're moving around, going to new areas, because then that when you advertise your show, they can get a taste of like, okay, this is what this is, and maybe this would be something I'd be interested in seeing, and that took me a long time to figure out.
But, and it's very true. Even me, and I in my little corner of the entertainment world, I'll get a press release from a PR company, usually how it works. And, the first thing I do, the good PR companies will include a video. But if they haven't, I go to YouTube, you know what I mean? Because it's quick. And, it's just easy to do. And I like to see what they're about, what they're doing and whatnot. It's like I said, it's cool. What really gives me hope is the stuff you guys are doing is new. I'm old enough where I crave new experience. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of things several times, and I'm like, am I in a loop? What's happening? and when I see something new, It really excites me and whatnot. And another thing about what you're doing that excites me is other people are getting excited about it. And that doesn't happen all the time. You know what I mean? That people
are
getting excited about
Avant-Garde. I'm sorry, I'm going to cut you off. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I like people getting excited about the Avant-Garde. I like seeing that because that always leads to other stuff, in
the
scene.
Absolutely. And it's, it was such because, it was kind of weird for us because here in Houston, we really didn't get a lot of love, not until very recently. About the time that Curtain Call Records picked us up and, we signed a deal with them, I think it was weird because I could go to, Tyler, Texas, to Dallas, to Beaumont, to, Austin, and the crowds would be bigger and they'd be more fun and the shows would be awesome. And then I come to Houston and it just wouldn't be like that. I don't know. It was just, it wasn't like catching here, but everywhere else I was going, it seemed to be hitting. And, online, having that, be able to reach outside of my circle here, it helped, kind of gave me hope to keep going. And then, once this thing with Curtain Call happened, it kind of snowball effect is happening. People like it's all of a sudden, I don't know if it was, that it was us getting the deal or whether Curtain Call promoted us correctly and I was doing something wrong or what happened. But, I'm walking down the street now and people are like, oh, what's up, Seven? It's really starting to, it's like getting exciting. People are excited about it.
Nice.
Or like interested.
Nice.
I'm loving it, man, so.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Right now at Sprint, get any next-generation Samsung Galaxy phone and get the new Galaxy S10e to use on us with Sprint Flex Lease. The Galaxy S10e has a pro-grade camera for effortless pro-quality images. Visit a local Sprint store, sprint.com/Samsung, or call 800-SPRINT-1. Galaxy S10e, $31.25 per month. Second phone, $0 per month. After $31.25 per month credit, apply within 2 bills. Requires 2 new lines and 18-month leases. If you cancel early, remaining balance due. Excludes tax, subject to credit, $30 activation fee and restrictions. Offer and coverage not everywhere.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Hey there, my name is Paige Beattie, and I am the founder of Hats On and Hats Off, which are 2 separate companies but aligned by the same philosophy of raising cancer awareness and forming smiles. Hats On is a for-profit corporation that sells cancer-specific hats to be proudly worn by you in hopes of raising awareness. A percentage of the proceeds will be donated to Hats Off, which is a nonprofit corporation raising money to buy wigs for cancer patients who can't afford them. That's where we're forming smiles. I believe cancer has touched almost everyone's lives in one way or another, a friend, a family member, a friend of a friend. So please visit our website, www.hatsonhatsoff.com, to learn how you can help raise awareness and form smiles.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Holla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
Hey folks, located in the hills of Tennessee, L'Apothecary Unique offers all natural, organic, gluten-free skincare, hair care products, perfumed oils, medicinal salves, makeup, incense, and aromatherapy items, bath salts, and even much more, including something special for the fellows, like beard and mustache balm, astringent, and aftershave. Each item is made to order just for you. So check out LapothecaryUnique.com, spelled L'ApothecaryUnique. L'ApothecaryUnique.com.
Well, as an artist, you know, just that people are digging what you're doing. You know, I mean, it puts us, some pep in your step.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, sometimes, and it doesn't always have to be people writing you a check. You know what I mean? That's great. Don't get me wrong. I love that. But it's also
checks.
Cool. My goal is to have one come in the mail every day if I can. there's been many times that ain't the thing.
It's funny thing happened to me the other day, right? So like I'm playing a show here in town, or I was playing a show like it was like 3 weeks ago or something. And I'm sitting there in the bar, and the other band's on. I think we were playing last, and the other band's on, and this photographer walks up to me, and she's talking to me about this new band Surrender Stella that she, you know, blah blah blah, and like I'm sitting there and she doesn't realize that I'm the vocalist of the band, you know,
right?
And she's like telling me how she's so excited to see the band because she's been hearing our stuff on the radio or whatever, and like, you know, like loves this song Blackheart and blah blah blah. She's like giving me all these compliments and has like no idea who I am. Like I'm like, oh, thank you. That's my song. And you know, she like
That's
freaked
awesome.
Out and like I got this first kind of like, you know, taste of like it was just cool to see someone excited about it, you know, and you know, cuz
right.
like I think it just made it a little sweeter that her not even realizing that it like that was me. So like it was
That's
I felt like it was like kind of pretty authentic, you know, because like why would she be saying that, you know, to like just some random dude if she didn't mean it, you know?
No, I hear you. As you should. That is so cool. You know, and there's no, you know, as a creator, a creative person, it's a good feeling, man. It's a good feeling when people are getting what you're doing, you know, taking time out and just they're into it, you know, and because I'm sure you've been here, Kevin, when it doesn't happen. You know, it's
That's exactly what I was trying to put there. And maybe that's what it was. Maybe that's what when Houston started showing us love is when I got that, you know, because in the first record, it definitely had a message within it. You know, I really put a lot of work and effort. It had sections, you know, each the songs were kind of categorized into sections, and it was like a big long story, and it was this whole thing. It was like a concept album almost, you know, but it just wasn't reaching people weren't getting it, you know, like it wasn't connecting correctly.
Right.
So that's why I was, you know, I said, I kind of, reinvented everything, you know, with Blackheart and this new kind of era in the band where I wanted our songs and music to have maybe more of a universal theme so that I think, you know, a lot of people could relate to like the lyrics in Blackheart, you know, because it's about, you know, falling in love with a girl pretty much, you know, and then like losing that and trying to get it back.
We've all been there.
So, yeah. So,
absolutely. Well, that's a good lead in. Seven. That's a good lead-in. We should definitely let's play the track so people know what we're talking about. Is Blackheart out now? Can people pick this up? Or is it? Okay, it is out.
It's
cool. Well,
it's
here you go, ladies and gentlemen. Go ahead.
Oh, I said it's fully released. It's on every platform. You know, iTunes, Amazon Music, Google, all that stuff. No hard copies yet. They're coming in soon. I'll have those available like in a week or so. We'll be selling those on our website and on Facebook, and I can mail them to you if you want a hard copy.
Nice, nice. Well, here you go, man. This is Blackheart. This is Surrender Stella. Check this out. Here it is, everybody.
I want to.
Fantastic track. That's Black Heart by Surrender Stella. We've got Seven Stella on with this lead vocalist. Seven, what a track. Kick ass.
Hey, thanks for spinning it, man. I really appreciate that and having us on the show. Yeah, man, Black Heart. It's been, you know, I actually wrote that song, man, like a year and a half ago. So it's been a bit of a journey to get to this point, you know, to where it's actually it's out and released now. So,
I have to ask, Evan, is that track semi-biographical or full-on biographical? Does the gal know that she's the subject of a song?
I actually wrote that song for a girl that, you know, that was my girlfriend, and we had broke up, and it was kind of like my grand gesture to get her back. It's funny, it's crazy as it sounds.
Gotcha.
That track was never intended to see the light of day, like in my band. It was, I made a basically like an art project just for her, you know, so like I said, I do production and stuff. Shout out to my buddy, Jordy Gilliam at Exceedo Music down here in Houston. He helped me out with doing a production on that. But we put that track together in like 3 days, the original track, which is quite a bit different than the one that's on the radio now. But we, we had this big opportunity to go out to Nashville with Brett Hetzel, the producer. He's done a bunch of incredible stuff. He used to be the bass player in Creed. And produce some other albums as well. But we had this opportunity to go work with him, and I figured that of all the tracks I had, something that was going to, you know, connect with people was going to be that song. So we reworked it, made it a bit heavier. I changed some of the lyrics a bit, and, you know, this is the final product what we're here and now, and I'm very pleased with it. So
nice. Nice. Well, see, it goes to show you never know. You know, you can be working on something for one thing, and circumstance and opportunity arrives, and it winds up in something else. That's cool.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's awesome.
And
well, very cool.
Out,
and
it did work, but then the relationship didn't work out. So the song worked.
There you go. All you young, heartbreaking, broken men out there, you know, write a song. Do an art project. You never know.
Yeah, man. Do what you can, right? You know? Yeah.
That will work usually better than just yelling at her. That never
works. Yeah, that's
or blaming.
That's not quite my style, you know? Rather sing at her.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it took me a minute to learn that when I was a young whippersnapper, a young knucklehead. No, I just had a pretty good game. My problem is I, for a long time, you know, you put me in a room with 99 real nice gals and one sociopath, I would just instinctively, like a hound dog, go to the sociopath every time.
Stories,
but not necessarily fun to be in.
I've had my fair share of those myself, so I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. You never want to. This is my advice for young guys that are wolfing around. Never be in a position where you have to tell the police, "No, I don't want to press charges." That's just a bad place.
That is a bad place to be. Yes, it is. I fully support that comment there.
Oh, man. Well, the Black Heart track, like we said, is out, ladies and gentlemen. You can pick it up. Now, we haven't mentioned, I got to mention your website, surrenderstella.com. But I think, really, you want people to get over to Facebook, your Facebook page, right? Surrenderstella.com. /SurrenderStella.
Yeah, it's either way. So there's a cool thing we're setting up right now. You can get signed up for on my website. I'm working with the web developer right now. I'm not sure if it's actually up as of right now, but we're starting a mailing list. If anybody likes the song and joins our mailing list, we're not going to be like spamming people, But, you know, like, basically, if we come out with a new track or a new piece of merch, or if we're going to be playing in your town, we'll send you an email. So that way you'll know that, you know, like, say, you know, I'm from Houston. So if you're in, I don't know, Arkansas somewhere and I'm playing there and you signed up for my email list, I can send everybody in Arkansas where I'm playing at an email letting them know that I'll be playing out there when we get, you know, on this date, such and such. So that'll be, and if anyone's interested, sign up for that. That'll be great to be able to follow us, because it's kind of, you know, every once in a while I'll give you an update of what's going on, new single coming out, new merch, or just at the other. Facebook is our mainstay right now, kind of like anything happening with the band, you're going to be able to see on Facebook. Instagram also, Surrender Cell on Instagram. I've been working diligently on building that up recently, so you know, that will be another front you could check us out on. Twitter as well, coming right behind
that.
Blackheart also has a music video on YouTube, if you ever want to check that out. We filmed that. That was a
really
cool experience. Yeah,
I didn't know you had a video out for Blackheart. So it is definitely isn't fantastic. Very good. I was going to ask
that is a video
that.
On YouTube.
That is awesome.
We filmed it here in Houston at Sugar Hill Studios, which is kind of like a legendary recording studio here in town. It's actually the oldest recording studio in America. I didn't know that until I went there, but so the video is all filmed there. We worked with Adam Arnali. He's a guy out of LA, and I thought he did an incredible job on the video. He's worked with some really big name artists. Funny enough, we were talking while the song was playing, Taylor Swift. I believe he's worked with her and Katy Perry and several other artists. He's one of the coolest guys. You guys in advance thinking about filming a video, you know, shoot that guy an email. He's awesome. He's a great guy to work with, very professional, and did an incredible job. So, and, you know, We shot the video in one day down there at Sugar Hill, got it done, and then, you know, Adam did all the editing, and we got it out. So, and it's actually, I'm floored by how well it's doing on YouTube. I think we're sitting at like 70 some odd thousand views, which is like up to date my biggest success so far. So, I was very happy with that happening. So,
that is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and the cool thing is, a lot of people don't, or a lot of people listen to the show know that after every episode, when I'm putting the show together, I'm adding the commercials, doing what we call all the post-production work to it, to the episode.
Gotcha.
You know, cleaning it up and all that, you know, the normal stuff. I always, in my studio here, I have a big TV on the wall, and I'll put up a video or something, just some background noise. But I post it, and today we'll definitely be posting the Blackheart video, so. I'm going to be checking that out along with everybody else that hasn't seen it. So it'll be 70,000.
Much appreciated.
Great. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. I can only imagine how cool it is. So I'm excited. Any upcoming tours we should know about or dates?
October 19th, I'm playing It Clicks in Tyler, Texas, with Post Profit. That's another band on my label. We're playing out there, and pretty much for the remainder of this year, we're going to be kind of like regionally touring around. I'm still working on getting everything set up right now, but all those dates will be up on Facebook pretty soon. And so that'll be available, confirmed dates and everything. And then going into next year we're booking out, we're working with our label to book a lot of festivals. We're trying to do a big festival tour, like in the spring and then also in the summer. So
cool.
I think we played South by Southwest this year. You should be able to catch us there again in 2020. So that'll be a cool play. I think it's not confirmed yet, but hopefully, you know, everything goes through. We played Dirty Dog last year on Sixth Street. And I think that's who we're trying to work with again. So still tentative, but working on that. A couple other festivals, you know, so just doing all the, you know, all the kind of pre-production work, I guess you'd call it, you know,
getting all the booking stuff, all the promo ready, and trying to get it all lined up so we can have a good year next year.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, I really want to thank you, Seven, for taking time out of your schedule to be on the show. We're right up against the time, but, man, it goes by so quick. I can't wait to when you're on again. You got it. We got to stay right.
Well,
because next
man.
Time I come to Houston,
come
I'm going to check out your shop and one of your shows, you know? Absolutely.
Oh, please come down, man. Let me know. If you ever find yourself down here, let me know. I'll take you to the shop. And I think we've got 40, 50 classic cars in there right now, man. Come through and check them out.
Oh.
Awesome.
Absolutely. Very cool. And vice versa. Next time you guys are in South Florida, let me know, and we will hang out. Very, very
sounds great
cool.
To me.
Awesome. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to wrap it up for us today. It's been a very cool show, and I'm very excited about it. Tomorrow we're on again, tomorrow afternoon. We've got Jamie Bernadette, actress from a bunch of movies and whatnot. She's talking about, this is an interesting movie tomorrow. She made, they filmed it in South Africa, I believe. It's called Furnace, and it's about a runner. Well, it's about, I don't want to give too much away, but it's this gal and her husband, and I believe this is based on a true story. They're runners. They went to Africa to do this big run, and I don't know, they got in the middle of some kind of terrorist thing or something. And anyway, she recovers and does this run in South Africa. It's a fantastic film. We'll be talking to her tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. So we will see you then. Have a good Friday, everybody, and, you know, do your thing. Make, as my father used to always beat into me when I was a kid, and I don't mean like beat me, but just tell me all the time, make smart choices. And,
do that.
Exactly. Be smart. Cool. Well, Surrender Stella is the band. Check them out. And we have links to their social media and website and whatnot on the show page, and those links will also follow the podcast. This podcast will be converted to this episode, I should say, will be converted to a podcast. We're going to push it out on all the various social media platforms and all the podcasting platforms. We're on like 200 of them now. The big one, of course, is, we're on a bunch. The big one is Apple Podcast. So if you are listening to the show in the future on Apple Podcast, hello from the past. Do me a favor, hit that ratings and review. Keep this up at the top of the page. And boy, does that make my life easier when I'm talking to advertisers. Oh, and man, I don't know if I'm supposed to mention this or not. Well, there is a soon, it's in the works right now. There's many phone calls, many emails, and a couple phone calls happening so far about this. But it's looking pretty good. We just got to get figure out some stuff on the legal side of it regarding advertising and whatnot. You'll be able to listen to the Pop Rocks Radio shows, all 900 episodes on, I don't want to say what it is because we haven't signed in, but it's a very popular streaming service that starts with an S and ends with a Y. So we're working on that. A lot going into that right now, ladies and gentlemen. So stay tuned. That's probably in the next month. So working hard on that. And I can get those big, sweet royalty checks from them. No, kidding.
Get the checks,
no, it's
man.
Just more access.
Get the checks.
Exactly. Got to get those checks. Okay, everybody. We will see you next time. Again, check out Surrender Stella. They're awesome. See you then. Thanks, Seven.
Thank you. Appreciate it so much.
Absolutely.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.